It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome to our Bible study segment. Today we are back in the book of Philippians. Our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is back. Hey, Beth, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing, Amy?
Oh, very good. Very excited to dive into this one. We're talking about pride in this one in the book of Philippians. And you've titled this one, "The Glory is His, Not Ours." That's very compelling to me. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. And, you know, we're going to be kind of seeing some of the ways that pride can sneak up on us, and we don't even recognize it until it's right there. So we're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30 today. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me." Now, this is kind of a little story here. Remember, this is a missionary letter, so he's writing back to these people to kind of give them an idea of what's going on in where he is at. And in verse 20, this really strikes me. "Timothy and Paul take a genuine interest in the welfare of the church of Philippi." Now stop for a second. When you ask someone, anyone, "How are you?" do you really want the answer? Or do you want to hear, "I'm fine," or "Doing good"? Now that question may seem harmless enough, but what would you do if someone answered it honestly? What if instead of "doing good," you got, "Well, my cat died yesterday and my mother-in-law's in the hospital. We're supposed to entertain my husband's boss for dinner tonight. My youngest has suddenly become unpotty trained and he likes to use the couch as a potty. How are you?" Most of us, I think, would be shocked and probably not know how to respond. But Paul and Timothy take a genuine interest in the welfare of this church, not just looking out for their own interests, but the interests of Jesus, which include other people. Jesus was interested in people. I don't think anyone would argue with that. He took a personal interest and, in fact, wept with them when they grieved. By the way, Jesus taking an interest in people didn't mean he just accepted everyone and said, "Oh, you're all fine. You can be however you want to be." Jesus also took an interest in the woman at the well in John 4, and while he was loving and kind to her, he also called her on her sins and told her to go and sin no more. There's no hiding from Jesus. Yes, there is love, and yes, there is grace, but we are still responsible for our actions, and our sins are still sins that we need to repent of and be forgiven of. The verses about Epaphroditus helped solidify to me the compassion and care that they had for each other. Epaphroditus was sick to the point of death, and what was his focus? To ease the worry and concern of the church in Philippi. Epaphroditus' concern isn't for himself, but he is eager to show the church that God healed him and to share with them his health so they can see for themselves that he is well again. Do you see how much this church cared for these men? Can you imagine the atmosphere in that church if they cared this much for their missionaries? Granted, Paul planted this church, but still, how much more do they care for each other? Do they share each other's burdens and come alongside each other as they need help and compassion? Now, there are two things about this. We can overdo it here, and we can try to make others completely responsible for all of our responsibilities and needs, claiming that as the body of Christ, they're supposed to take care of us. That's a danger to fall into, and we have to be careful about that and realize when to call for help from other people and when God is telling us to rely on his strength to do what he has called us to. Now, the flip side of this is the idea that if I ask for help, I'm burdening someone else. I admit, that is something I'm familiar with, and I'm very guilty of doing. Even in finding someone to watch my son so that I can record and that I can share God's word on the radio, that's really hard for me sometimes because I feel like I don't want to burden my friends with that. And they are so gracious to accept that responsibility for me so that I can be here. We're afraid to look weak in front of others. We don't want to show that we might have needs. That's pride, ladies. That's the glorious mind speaking. It's all about me and how I look. When we act this way, not only are we robbing ourselves of help and understanding and of the body of Christ the way it's supposed to be, but we're robbing others of the ability to be blessed by helping. That sounds a little odd, but think about a time when you were able to genuinely help someone out. Whether it was helping a friend with a meal, helping clean their house, or sitting with them in the hospital while they waited for news of a loved one, how did you feel afterward? Tired, yes, but every time I've been privileged to help someone in such a personal way, I go away with a peace and a sense of satisfaction and joy because, first of all, they trusted me enough to let me in to the real them. Secondly, I was able to help them in a tangible way. I know that what I did made some difference. Third, they know that I care, and I know that they are cared for. And fourth, I know that God was able to use me to help them. A lot of times I think, I don't have time to do that, but if I feel God pushing me to, say, help clean someone's house, I find that when I make the time to do what God wants me to do, my time is multiplied, and I still get all of my stuff done. I remember when I was on bed rest with my second child. At that point in my life, that was my absolute biggest fear. I had a toddler. He was not even 18 months old when my youngest was born. And there I was, trying to stay pregnant and not hurt my growing baby while trying to care for my toddler. I couldn't change diapers. I wasn't supposed to pick him up. I wasn't supposed to be on my feet as much as possible. I was supposed to lay down on my left side, take horrible medicine, drink as much water and be as I could and be as still as possible. Being still is very, very hard for me. I'm so independent that I could not fathom how I was going to manage that. I had been to the hospital twice before they finally put me on bed rest, and before I even left the hospital and I was only in overnight, my dear friend Maureen had gotten together with the families in our Bible study and had broken up my life into mom-sized chunks. Everyone signed up to take a turn. Someone came over on Monday from the time that my son was up to the time of his first nap. Someone came over in time for his lunch and then to his second nap. And my husband was going to work super early so that he could come home by the time my son was done with his second nap. Someone else brought us dinner every night. The families broke up the time so that no one was overburdened. But I will never forget that. At first, I felt embarrassed. I should be able to care for my own child, right? For both of my children, right? But I honestly couldn't do that safely. By the third day, I was kind of resigned to my spot on the couch. And by the fifth day, I was able to relax and let other people truly help. My son loved the attention he got from people who could pick him up, to let him play with the light switches or see things he couldn't normally see. I still got to read with him and watch him play with his toys. And I remember commenting to a couple of friends at that time, I kind of like this. My friends come over to play every day, and I get adult conversation every day. And that was a temporary season for me and for my family, but I will never forget the way that our friends gathered around to support us. And that's what we're supposed to be doing for each other, not over-functioning. One person did not take over my entire life and try to take care of me and my family. They broke it up so that the body worked as a body. Now, do not think that you are responsible for someone else's well-being. There will be people who need more help than any one person can give, and some people who really need to have the help of someone who is trained to help. But when you see a need and you feel God pulling you to fill that need, first of all, pray about it. If it really is God, He'll let you know that is Him calling you. And secondly, remember, He isn't going to give you anything that you can't handle when you remember that He's supposed to be the one carrying the burden. Try and help someone you know today. Step out of your pride. See where you can lower yourself to clean someone's bathroom. That mom down the street who has two little kids could is pregnant with a third and has terrible morning sickness, call her and see if you can't make lunch for the kids so she can take a nap. Be a word of encouragement to someone and see how easy it is to make a huge impact on other people's lives.
Beth, very wonderful encouragement. The glory does need to be all of God's, but pride can be such a snare for all of us, and I know that I've been there as well. Thank you for sharing from your personal life as well, because that's so important for us to hear the true work that God was doing in your life. Fantastic. Well, ladies, we're going to leave it here, but there's much more to come on this. We'll be right back.